Greetings, greetings.
Radio.
We thank God for you this morning, Eagles Life, and for all those that are listening. We bless God for you. Let me apologize for the delay in starting our service this morning. We just want to say a prayer, a quick prayer, amen. I want you to put your mind and your focus on whatever it is that you would have the Lord to do. We know that we're living in a time right now where this pandemonium is going on with this COVID-19 virus. But we know, as children of the Most High God, that our Father is in charge of all things. So as we begin to pray, let us keep those in mind that are not in touch with the Father, those that are not saved, those that are seemingly beyond hope. We know that God is our hope. He is our Redeemer in all situations. And today is no different from any other day. The Lord is still in charge. I don't care what the circumstances and situations are around us. Guess what? Our Father is still in charge. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Father, for a new day. We thank you for your glorious power. We thank you for your love and your strength. We thank you for your adoring adoration upon us, Lord Father, even in this situation where things are happening, Father God, all over the world, Father, in connection with evil, Father God. But we know, Father God, that sin has reigned rampant. And because of your love and your forgiveness and your fairness and judgment, we know, Lord, that you still got your hand on the reins, Father, that you're in charge. You have never lost sight of our control of anything. And we're so grateful, Father, as we put our trust in you, Lord. We pray for the young. We pray for the old, Father. We pray for those in between. We pray for your lost sheep, Father, that they will return back to you. We pray, Father God, for healing. We pray for strength, not just healing in the body, but healing in the mind and in the hearts of the people. We pray for newness of life, Father. We pray that blind eyes would be opened, Lord, and that scales would fall off the eyes of your people, Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, Father God, that you, Father God, will step in, Father God, and show your power, show forth your power, Lord, because you're the victor in all things and all situations. But whatever it is, we put our life and our trust in your own hands, Father. Oh, God, that you will get the glory out of it. Hallelujah, God. We glorify you in spite of. But, Father, we thank you for this day and this opportunity. Somebody going on, Lord, Father, they didn't have the chance or the opportunity to worship you today. They never had the opportunity just to say thank you. And, Father, we say thank you. We thank you for the blood of Jesus, Father, that us a blood transfusion that has washed us whiter than snow. We're at the righteousness of Christ, Father God, as we accepted him as our Savior, Lord. We thank you, Lord Father, that he is, Lord Father, our covering, Father, that you, Father, have stayed death angels and plagues from off of us, Lord, and destruction from us, Father, because the 91st Psalm says it'll come nigh us, it'll even hit our right side, but it won't touch us, Lord. It'll fall in our right hand, it'll come near us, Father. It comes this close, Father God. But we know, Father God, that you, Father, has covered us. And we thank you for the covering, Lord. And, Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to gather together, Father God, to be able to speak your words, God, to share your words, Father, with those that are seeking you, Father. We're so grateful, Lord, Father, that you have opened doors where the enemy has said that we will not gather together. Lord, you've made a way for us to be able to gather together in your presence, Father God. We're gathering together by words, Father God, and on the air and on the radio, Father God. We're gathering together, Lord, Father, where we'll be able to hear your word. We'll be able to speak your word out to your people, Lord. Send the ears to hear and the mind to receive and the heart to obey, Father God. And, Lord, we thank you for this is a day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we pray over the households that are listening in. And, Father, we pray over those that are not. We pray over, Lord, Father, those that are sick. We have those that have been sick, those that are shut in the hospitals, Father God, not with the COVID-19 virus, but some of them had operations and they're recuperating, Father God. But we know that you're the healer, and we pray for a speedy recovery and that nothing else, no plague or no sickness will touch their body, that come forth like pure gold. We thank you for that, Lord, and we receive their blessings. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen, amen. We thank God, amen, for this day. We're going to be reading some from the book of Ezra. We're going to read some from the book of Nehemiah as the Lord's Spirit give utterance. But we're going to talk about having a mind to work. In this day and age, amen, the people have gotten lazy and slowful. I was listening to a preacher on the television this morning, and he was talking about how the church has gotten complacent and they've changed the order of the service of the Lord into that of not conducive to spirituality, but worldly, have become so worldly. And I tend to agree. Praise God, amen. We know that the Lord is in charge of all things, but what happened to holiness? You know, holiness without no man shall see the Lord. So we're not really building the house of the Lord because of the things that's happening in the body of Christ. And when the Lord said that judgment is going to start at the house of God, I believe that to be so, and it's already started. Praise God. But so we have a charge to keep and a God to glorify. We are builders and we still have to continue to build the kingdom of the Lord. A procrastinator will never, ever finish anything that they start because they'll always have an excuse. It's too hard. It's probably the wrong time. I don't have everything I need to get started. I can't do it by myself. Nobody's helping me. There's always a reason not to do something. But today we need to come up with reasons to do. We need to come while we're home. People are shut up in their homes. This is a time when we can have a closer fellowship with the Father. Stop watching so much TV and start reading the scriptures and praying and just meditating on the word. Because the Lord is trying to speak to his people and we have a deaf ear. Guess what? Every inventor and doctor, a lawyer, anybody that builds houses, builds anything, a car maker, anything, if they made up excuses like we do as Christians, why we can't read scriptures, why we can't go to church, why we can't pray or can't, you know, something is always in the way, where would we be today? I'm telling you, this thing that's going on now will be even worse than what it is. Guess what? Life does have its surprises. And nothing is guaranteed on this side of heaven except for salvation by the cross. But guess what? If you don't make the effort to do anything, you will just wither up and die. You just sit there just waiting to die or just be existing. Solomon said it so beautifully and clearly in Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 when he said that one half of it, he said that all the duty of man is to serve the Lord and obey his commandments. I mean, that's our duty, to serve him and to obey his commandments. So if we read the book of 3, verses 1 to 8, and it says, when the seventh month was come and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Josadak, and his brethren, the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his basis, for fear was upon them because the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. They also kept the feast of the tabernacles, and as it is written, and they offered daily burnt offerings by number according to the custom, as the duty of every day is required. And afterward offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were concentrated, and everyone that willingly offered the freewill offering of the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. Praise God. Verse 7. They gave money also unto the masons and to the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil to them of Zidon and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. Verse 8. Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month, began Jerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Josadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and to set forward the work of the house of God. Let me go to the book of Nehemiah from Ezra. Let's go to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 4 to 9, and then we're going to go to chapter 8. Chapter 4, verses 4 to 9. Verse 4 says, "Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, they were both wrought and conspired all of them together to come to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." Go to chapter 8, 4, and we read verses 1 to 6. We're almost at home. "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and of women, and all that could herewith understand, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose, and beside him stood Mattathiah, and Shema, and Ananiah, and Arijah, and Hilkiah, and Messiah. On his right hand and on his left hand was Pedaiah and Mishael and Micaiah and Hasham and Hashbadanah, Zechariah and Meshullam. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of the people, for he was above all the people," meaning he was standing high. "And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra, the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, Amen, Amen. With lifted up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground." Today we're talking about laying the foundation and having a mind to work. The foundation is no good if you don't have a mind to build upon it. I think about many times I've seen past buildings, past lots in my travels. There are certain lots, and you see this foundation has been laid, but for months and months, the foundation is just there. There was nothing built upon it, and finally grass and weeds start to grow up in the foundation. You may have the foundation. When you get saved and accept Christ as your Savior, you have your foundation, which is in Christ Jesus. But if we don't build upon that foundation and use what the tools that the Father has given us, and start using our way of life and our mouths and our whole demeanor and everything, our character should be a witness to the Father, but our mouth should be open as well. And so building up people's lives and situations that people are facing and things that they're into, they need help. They need us to build them up. And if as children of God, if we're not doing what the Lord has purposed us to do, then we don't have that mind to work. We have to develop that mind to work. I mean, when you get on a job, especially a new job, and some of you I know can agree to this, you go to work and on that new job, and maybe something that you haven't done yet, you may have been trained in it or went to school for it, but you're not. You haven't experienced it yet, and you're a little nervous. And you start working, and then maybe, I mean, you're not too enthusiastic about it, because you're thinking, oh man, this is going to be hard, or I don't like this. But then once you start building and start working and you get acclimated and get used to doing it, then now it becomes like second nature to you and you love it. So in laying our foundation, if you're going to finish a job, you just have to start. You just got to get started. You can't wait. You can't, like I said earlier, you can't procrastinate and try to figure things out. Just do it. If the way is made, make it. If the charge is there, then we just have to follow through. Because guess what? We will never finish anything with an attitude like, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. Or I'll do it later. I don't feel like it right now. Some jobs, they might look hard. I don't know if any of you, well, those of you that are listening, but I remember our trip to the mountains, and when you look out, I was standing on the porch of the cabin and looking out over the area and looking at the other mountains, and I'm like, wow. And I saw houses like you see lights at night, and you wonder how they got there. You know, I mean, it's hard for us to get to our cabin. It was like the roads were like scary, but I remember thinking, wow, that must be so hard just to get over there. And sometimes a job or a task that whatever you're doing might seem that way, just like looking up to a mountain and figuring, how in the world am I going to get to the top of that mountain? But guess what? If you don't ever make the step, you'll never make it. And so you may even think, okay, I don't qualify. Sometimes pastors give jobs to their people. We give jobs to the people. They say, well, you know, I don't think I could do that. But if the pastor didn't think that he wouldn't give you the job. And you may not see your qualities and your abilities, but there may be something that he or she would see in you and know that you would be the one to fulfill the task. And that's what God works with us. We don't see what he sees in us. We don't see tomorrow. We don't see the future, but he already is there. And so he knows what we're qualified and capable of doing. With him and his strength, we can do all things because he gives us the strength to do it. So it's not your work effort if you don't put forth the effort, but it's the Father's work that you're doing. So you have to use the tools. In order to do any job, you have to use the tool. If you're a typist, you need something to type on. In my day, it was a typewriter. Today, it's a computer. You don't have that, guess what? You can't do the job. You're a plumber, you need your plumbing tools. You need something to work on. You need the toilet, the tub, the sink, whatever it is that you work on as a plumber. Whatever. If you're a builder, you need something to build. You need something to build with. You need the tools. And without the proper tools, you can't do the job. So some reason people don't start assignments that they're given is just that, for that same reason. They don't see the way for them to get credit for it. Or some people like to get praised for everything they do. They might make three steps. Now they pause because they're waiting on you to say, good job, pat on the back. And then they make three more steps, and now they're waiting for somebody to give them praise or credit. You know, so-and-so did that, and they did a good job. But when you have the effort or the unction to do something, to build something, even if it's your work, folks are going to know it's your work because the Lord himself will make sure, people will make sure, they'll just know it's you if you don't just, I always have to have credit because Jesus prayed here on earth. Guess what? You will not need praise for the future. You already got your praise. So why are you waiting for praise? So